For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. The NFL draft has just wrapped up, and boy, oh boy, chess master Brad Holmes back at it again this year. Another very unique draft for Detroit Lions that made a lot of buzz and very, controversial, I guess you could say. Some grades giving it an A, or some prognosticators giving it an A, some giving it an F. It is all over the board. We're going to be covering every pick here. I'm drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Want to thank everybody who joined the live stream at DTBK_Lions on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid or Twitter at Drinking Lions. I do want to make one note about the audio in this episode for Bob. For some reason, we just could not figure out a solid connection. You can still make out everything he says. You just just dive into it at first. You'd be like, I'm not sure, but it grows on you throughout the podcast. So. I don't think it's too big of an issue. You still might get everything he says. I just want to note that we apologize for that inconvenience. But otherwise, we are drinking the Kool-Aid, baby. We are so, so ready for this Super Bowl season coming up. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog!
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the Blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything we got to hear. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, and we are back and better than ever after an absolutely wild 2023 NFL draft for our Detroit Lions. I mean, some of what we expected, maybe not in the manner that it happened. We'll get into all that in a moment, but before we do, I'm Big Z. Let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. We got Rud Dog.
Yo.
UJ.
Hello, Lions fans.
And Bob.
Hello.
All right. So the Lions, with their 2023 draft, it went like this. Then the round one, picks 12 and 18. They traded back from 6. Jahmyr Gibbs at 12. Jack Campbell at 18. At pick 34, Sam Laporta, the tight end out of Iowa. Then the DB, Brian Branch at pick 45. They trade up with the Packers, another interdivisional trade. Mm-hmm. Pick round 3, pick 68, Hendon Hooker, the quarterback out of Tennessee. Then Broderick Martin, the defensive tackle for Western Kentucky. Colby Sorsdal, the offensive lineman in the 5th round from William & Mary. And then Antoine Green from North Carolina, the wide receiver in the 7th round. What a draft. But let's start. Mm-hmm. Let's take this pick by pick, shall we? And then we'll give our grades at the very end of the pod. The Lions are sitting there at 6. Jalen Carter is sitting there. Right in front of the Lions, though, Devin Witherspoon, picked by the Seahawks. A lot of prognosticators did not see coming. Did you guys see that one coming at all? Like, even like a chance?
Or
did
it was you think so obvious.
Carter? Seahawks were going to take him?
Yeah, I didn't see it coming.
Oh, yeah.
It was so obvious, Z.
He was mocked there out there by a lot of. So I did see that.
He was? That Witherspoon?
Yeah, you didn't see mocks. I saw that a lot towards the last.
I mean, the Seahawks have only taken one cornerback in the first round in the Pete Carroll era in Seattle, so I think it shocked a lot of people in that regard. But The story was, too, that the Lions had their this is according to Albert Breer of SI, Sports Illustrated. But anyways, the Lions had their eye on Devin Witherspoon for a long time. In fact, they were throwing up smoke screens. It's interesting, the strategy. Like Dan Campbell and Brandt Holmes both did not attend his pro day. They did not give him a top 30 visit to try to throw the scent off the trail, like as if they weren't interested. But in fact, he was their top guy on their board. besides Will Anderson, who did not obviously fall to them when the Texans traded up to 3 to grab him. So nonetheless, the Lions, what do they do at 6 when they don't have their guy? I guess Gibbs is their number 2 guy on the board, or number 3, I guess, after Will Anderson, then Devin Witherspoon. They trade back with the Cardinals. They pick up an extra early second-round pick. But anyways, at 12, Jahmyr Gibbs. And I'm going to start this with you, Jay, because you, Jay, you had the Lions in your mock, taking Gibbs at 18. So you weren't too far off, actually.
Yes,
so
I did.
What'd you think of this pick?
I love this pick. I love it. Forget draft value and all that perceived draft value and Mel Kiper's big board and all that crap. I mean, Brad Holmes is a free thinker. He doesn't listen to everyone else's boards and what they say. He knows what he wants. And they obviously wanted this guy bad. And I think they knew they'd have a good chance to get him at 12, but I don't think they think he would have been there at 18. So to me, they went up and got the guy they wanted. You know, prognosticators be damned. They got the guy they wanted. And I'm telling you, this guy is electric, man. He's going to really add a something to this offense. And, you know, the people who are doubters right now are going to, I think they'll change their mind when they see this kid play. And with him and Montgomery in the backfield together, it's going to be spectacular. I love the pick.
And in that same story, Albert Breer says that the Patriots and Jets, Patriots at 14, Jets at 15, were very interested in Gibbs. And that's the reason that the Lions took him at 12 as well. But Rudd Dog, what do you think Gibbs adds to this offense that we didn't? We'll talk about the Swift trade in a moment, but what does he add that maybe Swift
didn't? I don't know. The Lions were clearly stupid. They could have got him at 18. Like, or later, because that's what everyone says. Like, no, but he's obviously gonna add. Like, it's obvious what he brings. It's like the tape speaks for itself. You watch that guy; he just jumps off the screen with his explosive, game breaking ability. I mean, I think he brings everything Swift brought and then some. He's faster. Hopefully, he stays healthy, but. Man, the upside is just huge, and I think he's going to be just a touchdown waiting to happen. Oh, wait, I stole that from someone else. Darn it, but I heard someone say that, and it sounded cool. He's a touchdown waiting to happen.
Bob, what did you think of this pick at 12? And just, I mean, the criticism on this one, I guess, yes, people thought maybe he'd be available later, but also just the running back position in general is very – it's valued – it's one of the least valuable positions in the NFL basically these days. Do you think the Lions reach here? Good pick. Your thoughts?
I think it's a great pick. I had been in the first round, so I wanted a first round running back. I'm okay with that. And I see him kind of as a replacement for Swift. I mean, I know he was still on the roster that I didn't think they were going to re-sign him because he gets so injured. I think they wanted somebody more reliable. I mean, Swift's elite when he's healthy and well, but too many times it looks like he was dodging in contact or just couldn't get it together for a lot of years. I mean, and Jibbs, he's a guy who can break open on any play, you know, like you said, touchdown waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a great, I don't know if you watch highlights of him, if you haven't seen him already. His speed and his acceleration is amazing. The way he can change speeds and his weight on a dime, he's going to be amazing to watch. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. And I don't think they reached. It's just Lions got who they wanted, you know. So you know, big board be damned, you know.
Yeah.
We should have taken the guy they didn't want though, because we could.
I did want Jalen Carter. I got to say, I did want Jalen Carter, but obviously didn't want him. So.
Yeah, I'm guessing he wasn't even on their board. Like, they're just like, no, they said no to this guy right away.
Well, I fell to 18, then he might have taken him. Who knows?
Fair. Maybe.
I don't know. Jack Campbell would have been there.
Yeah. Who knows?
But yeah, so Jameer, two running backs taking the first round. Bijan Robinson went number 8 to the Falcons. Another guy that people thought the Lions might take. But Gibbs, he offers great speed. And another thing that the Lions liked from his response when he had a top 30 visit was they asked, you know, what trait do you think gives you, you know, what is your favorite trait about your play? And he said, my intelligence. So if you go watch him play, I think compared to Swift, he has a way better feel for the game in terms of finding the right hole, accelerating. I think Swift sometimes would question, like, that was an interesting decision to run outside here or bounce it inside at times. I think his vision was not quite what we hoped for. And I think Gibbs has a lot better vision on the field. I think that's the biggest difference between these two.
I'm curious,
a slight addition in speed.
I know that it's like it's projecting, but like I'm just curious. Is that something you recognized a Swift coming out, or just something that you've noticed him in the league manifesting?
Swift coming out, yeah, probably. I probably didn't quite notice that coming out. But definitely.
Well, they brought. I mean, Deuce Daly was saying it on Hard Knocks and on or whatever.
Vision.
He was pointing it out, bringing him off the side. You should have cut here. You should have cut here. Why are you doing that? He was. It was apparent. Deuce Daly was trying to drill some of this stuff into his head, you know, and
big dummy.
Maybe it wasn't catching on, you know, he just wasn't, I don't know. He was timid.
And the fact that the Lions had to drill into him, like you had to play, you know, the difference between injured and hurt, you know, and he wasn't drafted by this regime too.
Right.
So, right.
Yeah. I think there was I think it was a little bit of a cultural mismatch, but I don't think it was like massive. I don't think Swift was
you said that before. What do you mean by that? I don't get that. Why is there a cultural mismatch?
Well, earlier I was just when I was typing in the text, I was just but
my
excuse
goodness.
Me. I was just guessing as to why they would trade him for so little. I think they got very little in return for him compared to what, even if he had played like 6 games this year healthy, that would be worth more than like a 4th rounder from 2 years away. I don't know. I feel like we would have got more out of him just by playing him. So I was thinking either they just don't have anything in their playbook that they want to give him over Gibbs, or like he's just no longer in the vision for the team.
Yeah. What is it worth not having?
Or maybe he just, you know, like UJ was saying, like, that little attitude or like that little bit of like that need to be pushed to like get like, you know, that effort out of them. Maybe that little bit of nudging is just sort of like, you know, these are all supposed to be super motivated sort of self-starters on the Lions new culture, I feel like. So I don't know. I'm not saying he doesn't. I was just guessing because I just don't think we tried to get a whole lot for him in return.
Nonetheless, do you guys like the trade?
How much is it worth, though, not having the drama, having Swift there? Because it's all they'd be talking about. I'm telling you, it's all the announcers, the press would be talking about, you know, between Swift
personally, I would come on the team, but he wanted to go, and the Lions were going to move on from after this year. So they tried to get some. I think it's a great trade for Philadelphia. Because, I mean, whatever you guys say flaws are on this game, he's an also a guy who scores from any time.
Right, you're right. Ball.
He's a liar. And I think in that offense, do well.
That's what I just don't get.
Like, why not just keep a three-headed monster with Swift on a contract here? I just don't see the value unless you just don't want him around anymore. That's why I'm guessing about, like, culture fit and stuff.
He wanted out. It's the last year of the contract. I think the Lions got a great haul by getting a 4th-rounder for him. I thought for sure it would have been a 5th or later.
But it's not even, like, a 4th-rounder.
Well, 5th would have been a joke to give him what.
I
thought the Lions did well, especially for 2 years from now, because the Eagles might not be as good as they're going to be this year. So I was fine with it. I didn't think he had a place once we drafted Gibbs.
Agree.
He's too injured. They're not going to sign him another year, so they got some draft capital. I think a 4th is great value for that, a guy that only plays half the season.
But like, it's not like he's just not in the future plans. I think he just fell out of the plans altogether. That's all I'm saying. Like, because I still don't see why that 4th round pick in 2025 is worth more than what he could give us in a contract season. I mean, I just don't. I think he would be, you know, we'd have a 3-headed monster.
Hey, let's get used to the fact that Campbell and Holmes have a vision for this team. And if these guys don't fit the vision, that's it. And just don't question it, man. I mean, until we see different. Until we see different.
Speak on this podcast.
All right, guys, we're just going to stop talking about stuff lines.
I'm not saying that.
Don't question
Dan. But obviously, Swift did not fit this vision for these guys. And you could tell in their comments before the draft and everything, the writing was on the wall already for Swift. And the Gibbs pick just secured it. Now they got some capital for him anyway, and they don't have the drama or anything. It was a good deal all around, I think.
All right. Well, let's focus back on the draft. One more thing I want to add about Gibbs really quick, I think we didn't mention, is that I think he has the flexibility to also play out of the slot a little bit here too, or play on the outside, like line up on the outside and add that element to the game as well. I definitely don't think Swift was giving us. So I think there's more flexibility there. In the offense.
Turn kicks, too. I don't know if they'll let him do it. He's good at it.
They might. Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, absolutely.
Here he makes a really fine naval crime scene investigator, too.
What? Are you going to explain your joke?
No one's no NCIS Gibbs. Sorry.
No.
No one. The wrong crowd, I guess, for the reference. You can't even get me in. Clearly. You should know.
The grandparents maybe, got that.
Yeah, maybe our 60-year-old listeners or 70-year-old
really
listeners.
Got it. You're right. They were sharp.
All right. Let's move on now to the next pick. At 18, the Lions don't trade back. They pick Jack Campbell, linebacker, out of Iowa. Rud Dog, let's start with you on this one. I know you like this pick a lot.
Oh, baby. I'm so freaking psyched. I mean, how long? My whole life, I think I've asked for a linebacker, like just like an elite linebacker prospect to get picked. And like, I think the best attempt we've done is like Jared Davis. he's got such a unique skill set. He's so massive and yet ridiculously agile and explosive. This kid is going to bring a presence to the middle of our defense. I think this could take us to the next level as much as anything we've done this offseason on defense, because linebacker just was that position we just hadn't really addressed yet, because we do kind of like the guys we got there, but I think he's going to be a real upgrade over both Anzalone and Rodrigo.
Absolutely. Bob, what do you think about Campbell here at 18? And was this also a reach? I mean, these two picks were considered reaches by some, good picks by others, because they fill a need. But again, this is an off-ball linebacker. Off-ball linebacker and running back are two of like the lowest, quote-unquote, valued positions in the NFL
from the 80s.
A lot of people.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't buy that. I know Mel Kiper's like, that was I had him at 48 on my board. That doesn't mean he was good at 48, because Mel Kiper had him there. I mean, they didn't want to lose him. They took him when the best spot where they wouldn't lose him. And I think it's a great pick. I had him in my mock in the round, but he's got everything. He was a team captain for a couple of years, and he's got all the measurables. The guys loves football. He's got that whole Campbell thing. And he'll fit in the state of Michigan. I'm like, what do you like doing besides football? I like going to church. I like hunting and fishing. So yeah, he'll work in fine.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm a big fan of this one. Just because like Rud Dog was saying, it fits. We haven't had a great linebacker in a long time. Anzalone played pretty well last year. Obviously, you're in a new contract. And this also adds, at the very least, depth at a position that we have no depth at. And these two picks also tell me that the Lions really think they're ready to contend for a Super Bowl too. Mm-hmm. That's what these tell me as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I really wanted Lucas Van Ness in the moment. I'm still happy with the Gibbs pick and stuff like that. I did want like another like dominant edge guy. A three down guy, and the Packers went with him, but nonetheless, I still really like Jack Campbell. I think he's gonna, I mean, just the stuff you hear about the guy. I mean, this is a Lions guy. The Lions continue to draft highest character, and really athletic guys, and then they can mold them from there. And Jack Campbell fit that. I mean, Kirk Ferentz said he wishes he had 11 Jack Campbells out there. Yeah. And the Lions pretty much said that Jack Campbell was like designing the defense for them in their visit. So it's this guy is extremely smart. He was the academic All-American or academic Heisman or whatever you call it in the NFL, in the NCAA. So super smart guy. And this guy's going to be a leader for a long time in a Lions uniform. And Chris Spielman probably loved him from the moment he walked through the door, I'm guessing. Sure. Connor, your thoughts. And Connor, also, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, sorry I was late, everyone. I just want to say on the Gibbs pick, you know, it does feel a little high, but I do believe Brad that the Jets were going to take him. So if he's their guy, he's their guy, and I'm glad they got him. We talked a lot about Jalen Carter and how maybe the culture could take the hit. But it seems like they went the other way with this draft, and they reinforced the culture with most of their picks, and that, I thought that was really interesting. Jack Campbell, you know, besides sharing a name with Dan, like you all said already, is a pretty prototypical Dan Campbell guy. He's going to fit the culture well. We've been begging for a linebacker forever. It feels like before this pod even, people were talking about how they don't value the linebacker position. That's clearly not true anymore. So I'm excited personally that they got a who could grade out to be an elite, albeit off the ball linebacker. I like both picks.
Ooh, dirty off the ball linebacker.
I know that's like a little like it's like a buzzword for a lot of people, but it's an important position, and I think the Lions have lacked an elite player there for a while now. So I'm excited to see what he does.
Also, he dates Michael Mayer of Notre Dame's sister.
Is that actually true?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very true. Anyways, UJ, I wanted your opinion here because I know you're a big Jack Campbell guy too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Real quick though, you know, he is a prototypical what people are looking for, and they've compared him to guys like Leighton Vander Esch and such. And but Holmes had an interesting comment I read in one article where he says that he's like some other big linebackers as far as size and things like that, but he sees Campbell as something above these guys, something he's got more to offer than some of these more common, I don't know what the word is, other linebackers of his size and such. He sees him as something special, and I believe it. I think he's going to be an immediate contributor. You're going to see him on the field a lot. And I just want to say about these first two picks, whatever you say, these guys are going to be contributing big time this coming year. Both of them. So just from that standpoint alone, it's a winning round for the Lions. So
a note on Jack Campbell, his RAS is a 998. I think like only like one of the only few other true tens ever was Brian Urlacher. And the only thing Urlacher really had on him was his 40 time. I think he ran a 4.59. And our guy ran a 4.65. Like, other than that, like, his athletic attributes stack up with a dude like Urlacher.
Yes, his three cone was really good, 6.74, which,
just ridiculous agility.
That'd be amazing if we drafted the next Urlacher.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
One more note on Gibbs, you guys. I think something you guys might actually agree with from WalterFootball.com, he graded our Gibbs pick an A. And he had a really interesting point because he gave a bad grade to the Atlanta Falcons because he saw he thinks a first round running back in his opinion is okay when you are an immediate competitor for the Super Bowl, and he sees the Lions as a legit Super Bowl contender, so that's why he gave us a high grade on Gibbs because we're in the right time to take it. And I think it makes a lot of sense honestly because. What are they going to get out of Bijan? Like, what are they going to get out of
their team?
They already
had a really good run game in Atlanta, so a lot of people thought it was weird that they drafted Bijan that high when their run game was already a pretty good strength of theirs.
Well, a running back, I think it's like 2.3 years or something like that is the average, career expectancy. And, you rarely re-sign a rookie running back for a second contract. Like, they're usually already taking significant downgrades to their play and stuff. So I'm just saying, I understand why people don't pick running backs early because they do have one advantage. They contribute almost immediately. all ever, like that's the most common thing. So like we can expect, you know, big things right away.
Walter football likes it. You know, we're good.
Yeah.
I knew. Yeah. See, yeah.
We love Walter. We love Walter.
just a couple more notes about Jack Campbell really quick. You know, team captain. I mean, the Lions have a theme. They like captains of their football team, captains of their football team. But
especially out of Iowa,
he's a pretty quiet guy. But I mean, Kirk Ferentz, the head coach of Iowa, said everything he does, he goes hard. He's egoless and humble off the field. He didn't pursue any NIL deals in college, which is rare, especially if you're the captain of a D1 Big Ten school. No NIL deals, and he considers social media a distraction. So he's a focused individual.
He's an
alien. I don't think he'll be downloading any sports betting apps anytime soon as well. So
that's good.
Anyways, let's move on now to the second round. So again, the Lions have this 34th overall pick in the second round because they traded back from 6 to 12. And with the Cardinals pick at 34, the Lions take a tight end. Not Michael Bayer. The first tight end off the board in this draft was by the Lions, and it was tight end Sam Laporta, out of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Kincaid went in the first round.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Sorry. You are right. Sorry. Dalton Kincaid went to the Bills. I apologize. You are right. So second tight end taken off the board. And it
just
was
thank God it wasn't the first round.
And it was Sam Laporta, tight end out of Iowa. And Bob, I'm going to throw this over to you because you had Laporta in your mock draft going to Lions.
I did. I figured the Lions needed to upgrade the tight end position after we lost a lot of production there. I know we had the touchdowns, but he as a threat, you know, in the passing game, which haven't had the tight end since Hawks on. I love the pick, and I love Iowa tight ends. I love that he's coming from the same school as we're replacing him with another guy. Yeah. So it's sweet. I think it's a great pick.
Totally.
Yeah. Connor, what are your thoughts on the Laporta pick?
I love the Laporta pick. He's a very diverse player. They can use him in the slot, like basically just as a pure receiver, which it does seem like they're going to do a decent amount this year. I know everyone talked about the Lions tight ends last year. You know, the touchdowns went up and stuff. But outside of that, there's no real threat from our tight ends anywhere on the field. So I think this will add another dynamic level to our offense. Just seeing him and Gibbs work together is going to be really exciting. I think it's a great pick, personally. I was very happy with it.
Yeah, he seems to be like an average blocker. He's got some work to do
to
improve in the NFL. Yeah, you'd like to think so. But he does seem to be an elite pass catcher. And it's his after the catch where he really accelerates his game. And he is the only player pretty much to stand out in one of the worst offenses in America and then some play last year. He still had 100-yard games and such, which is I think that says a lot considering how bad that offense. Pretty much he's the only weapon teams would double team him and stuff, and he would still get his in game. So I think that speaks a lot about him. But UJ, your thoughts on Laporta?
I love the pick also. Mayer was my guy coming out into this draft. I've watched a lot of Notre Dame games, and I love the kid. I think he's just an awesome tight end, but After they picked Laporta, I started reading up on the guy, and I didn't really follow him that closely. But man, this kid—he looks like he could be special. I just love his athleticism, and he just—I think gonna be a great weapon for Goff out there. I mean, Goff has just got a unbelievable bounty of riches right now with this offense, man. I mean, Gibbs, Montgomery, now Laporta, and this receiving core he's got—he's got to be loving this. And yeah, I just think it's
Brock Wright.
Great pick.
Hey, you just on the Michael Mayer thing. Do you got the right guy? Since you liked Mayer,
I did like him a lot. I still like him. I think he's going to be a great player in the league. Mayer was a really good blocker, probably not as athletic as Laporta, and maybe not quite as good a receiver. Although he was a very good receiver, I thought he was the obvious pick personally as a tight end. But obviously, the Lions see something in this kid, and when you see the interview with him when he got drafted, you just love this kid. It's just like all these guys they sign, I mean, their character's stellar, you know. I mean, this character thing is real, and these guys, the Lions are picking guys of high character. It's just you'll see the trend through this whole draft.
This is another team captain. He was the only tight end this year that caused 20 plus missed tackles on a season. One of his coaches said, Sam isn't quite Noah Fant or TJ Hockenson, but he's tougher than both of them. And he competes like George Kittle. So
that sounds good.
I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot.
I like that too.
So there you go. And he's first tight end in Iowa history with their history of tight ends, like Bob mentioned, to lead the team in receptions and receiving yards in back-to-back years.
So, considering all the guys that came behind him.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on now to what a lot of people think is
the
best. I like
the pick, too.
Sorry, Rod Dog, I'm going to get yours. Yeah, go ahead. Your thoughts on LaPorta. Your thoughts on LaPorta. Go ahead.
I mean, you guys said most of it, but his yak ability could be something special, creating more after the catch. I just like, you can't go wrong adding these big athletic dudes with high character. We added one for the defense, then we added one for the offense, and this kid looks like he could have something special. I kind of slept on him because he doesn't have like an elite trait that's obvious. Like, he's not exactly the tallest tight end. He's not exactly the fastest tight end, but he like has like all these really good traits that come together to create a sort of like just really well-rounded prospect. And I'm excited to see what he brings.
All right, let's move on now to the next pick in the second round that the Lions had, and they traded up with the Packers. They traded up three spots to make sure they got their guy. This guy was invited to the draft. He had to wait a long time to get on the stage. Last guy picked that was invited to the draft.
Love this pick.
Yeah. Brian Branch, pick number 45 overall. Rod Dog, you had him in the first round. Lions going to be pick 45 in this draft. He's top safety on a lot of people's boards. Brian Branch, your thoughts?
It was very common to see him in the first round. Like, if you watch his film, it makes complete sense. Like, honestly, after Witherspoon, he was my favorite defensive back prospect based on film in this entire draft. Like, this kid is an absolute playmaker out of the slot. And I think it's like the perfect pick too to put behind Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and learn from a guy like that, because he's that kind of versatile athlete who has shown prowess at outside corner, nickel, safety. He can do pretty much anything you want him to. His 40 time was a little slower, so I think that scared some people. And he's not a pure cornerback, but I love the pick. I think he's going to be a Lions fans favorite for a long time. Absolute playmaker on the back end of our defense.
Absolutely. Bob, how did the Lions land him at 45? This is a steal, right? But you consider this a steal?
I think it's a great for the Lions. I mean, that's like criticizing the Lions draft. Lions draft are like, well, if they took Branch in the first round, I would have been okay with it. And then Campbell looking around like, I don't know, what's the difference? They got right. And that's a great pickup by the Lions, because they're working on our defensive backs. We're totally revamping that, the defense, which we need a revamp. So I think it's great. I don't know how he fell to us yet.
Yeah, UJ, Brian Branch looks like he's going to fill kind of like a versatile role, nickelback. And at the very least, this adds a piece of depth to this roster that the Lions, this is a completely overhauled defensive backfield from last year. This is kind of like the capper, if you will. The Lions have a lot of depth here now. But your thoughts on the Brian Branch pick and where he can fit within this defense. Also, I should mention, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Rud Dog, he's only on a one-year deal. So he can learn under him. He can move on, get his big contract, and Brian Branch can take over from there.
Exactly.
I love the pick also. And I know you guys have said some good things already. He's a great tackler, man. This guy's like sort of like a mini linebacker. He's aggressive, and he at the point of attack, he's vicious, and he hits hard, and he's a sure tackler, just a phenomenal tackler. In past couple of years, aside from toward the end of last season where we were starting to play really good, tackling has not been a forte of this Lions defense. So the more sure tacklers we can get out there, the better. And this kid's going to fill the bill really nicely. I think you're going to love seeing this guy play. So, yeah. And just for, you know, the Mel Kuipers of the world and all that, he was a great value. Hey, we got a great value pick here. Yay.
Right. Connor.
Yeah. I mean, he's incredibly versatile. You can pretty much plug him anywhere in the backfield, and he's going to make plays. And he doesn't have to be rushed right away like Okuda was to, like, be this star-studded starter right away. Like, he's got guys he can learn on. And if guys go down, you know, he's the perfect type of player to have. You know, if your safety goes down, if a outside corner goes down, he can fill those roles in a pinch. So I think it's a great pick, and he's definitely a pick looking to the future, not just as much a win-now pick like the first round may have reflected. Yeah, I love the pick. I mean, I think for most people, this was probably the pick of the draft that everyone loved the most.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you had to pull Lions fans, I'm guessing that would be it.
And UJ, you mentioned Brian Branch about his elite tackling skills. Just a fun number to throw out. In his college career, he only missed 2.3% of his tackles. So out of the tackle,
that's an awesome
chances,
stat.
He only missed 2.3%, which is considered elite. Especially from the DB position. That's really hard to do because you're facing a lot of open field tackling and stuff of that nature. So that's a great number. So good point there. Branch.
Hurts Will Harris's chances of sticking around.
You know, I think Will Harris is, well,
yeah.
At the very least, he's a good, like, backup to have, you know.
We got a decent amount of these tweeners now, I feel like. At least three I can think of off the top of my head. Johnson, Branch, and Harris. Is there anyone else I'm missing? I guess it's not bad, though, to have that versatility.
I guess Walker's not too versatile.
We only got our outside guys are pretty much, what, Mosley, Jacobs, and Sutton. And Sutton has the versatility to play inside.
Well, you talk about an overhaul of the defensive backfield 1 year. Good
seriously.
Lord.
Right.
Amazing.
Jacobs
impressive.
Is the only one coming back.
Yeah.
So let's move on now to the third round, where the Lions had a couple picks as well. We'll get to the second one in a moment. But first, in the third round, 68th overall pick, the Lions go quarterback Hendon Hooker.
Crazy.
Quarterback Hendon Hooker. I don't know if none of us had this. Some of us had like a quarterback being taken, but none of us had Hendon Hooker.
That's an interesting pick.
Connor, Hendon Hooker, your thoughts on the Lions going with him in the third round? Some people had even a first round grade on him. People at least second.
What I love most about Hendon Hooker is he's got that deep ball. And I think that's something, all respect to Goff. I love Goff, and I think Goff could be the guy for us. That's something, you know, that's been more of a question mark with him. I don't think Hendon's necessarily being brought in to, like, succeed Goff in a year. You know, it's possible they extend Goff, but I think at the very least he's going to grade out to be a great backup and potentially could start. You know, he's older, so I think that might have been why he fell. What is he, 24? No,
25, I think.
Oh, he's 25.
25,
and,
quarter. So he's still 20 years younger than Stetson Bennett, but
yeah, also coming off a torn ACL.
Yeah, so there's good reasons he fell, but they don't have to rush him, you know. I think it's a great pick, a good value pick again. If you're looking at Mel's.
Yeah, UJ, what are your thoughts on Lions going?
Okay, if you remember my comments before, I saw him as the next Andre Ware. And I wanted to stay away from the guy. So after the Lions picked him here in the third round, I had to go back and rethink my stance here a little bit. So
You started drinking some Kool-Aid.
I started drinking some Kool-Aid. I went back and watched some of his film, and I watched his interview. And the interview really moved me because, again, super high character guy. I mean, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
He just impressed the hell out of me with his interview. And then you see Campbell Holmes saying things like the things they noticed about him, like after he scores a touchdown, he goes out there and he's cheering on the kicker on the sideline instead of just going back and sitting on the bench and reveling in his touchdown pass or whatever. He wanted to make sure he was out there rooting the kicker on to get the extra point and stuff. Little things like that. So, again, super high character guy. And then his arm is – he's got a great arm. There's no doubt about it. I think the only drawback to him is being a special quarterback in this league is he's going to have to learn to play a more pro-style offense than what he was playing at Tennessee. And but he has time to learn that now. I mean, he has the tools. He has all the tools as a dual-threat quarterback. He can run. He can throw. He's got a great arm. And now he'll have time to sit back and learn. And I've reassessed my thoughts on him, and I'm approving of this pick. Because I did want them to pick a developmental quarterback, and I think they did a good job here. So I'm on board now. Hendon Hooker, I like it.
All right, well, there you go. Bob.
Yeah, I wasn't really wanting them to jerk back, but I think, like, the value he got, a lot of people didn't around here. And I think he's a good backup. And I like where they did in the he's not a first rounder, so the pressure in Goff or something, you know, Goff's still the guy. This is just a developmental for the as a backup position. Maybe he'll be there someday, but it looks, you know, from what I've read about him, he can process this information. He's gonna run an up tempo off offense, so he's quick on his feet. So a great backup for us. And it was great when the grandkids came up to him and gave him a hug when he got.
All right. Who did I get to yet? Rud Dog, right? Rud Dog.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little hard to get too excited about a guy that's meant to sit behind people the rest of his entire career, but I like this pick. I like that we got a guy who has a significant amount of upside. As far as I can tell, his tool set stacks up pretty good with even the guys that went in the top of this draft. He fell for other reasons, and we getting him in the third round, a guy who now, like Bob says, perfect. He doesn't threaten Goff. He can come in and learn, but he has the upside that maybe one day he does take over as our franchise guy, or we, you know, do what the Patriots always do and trade him off if Goff, you know, just keeps cooking. So I don't think, I think there's no risk really in the pick. I don't. The worst case scenario is what? Like we lose a third rounder. I mean, so, but we get a young guy to develop. So I like it. I think
youngish
looks promising.
25 already.
Well, like here's the thing. At quarterback, if it was other positions, I'd feel a little different. If it was like a running back coming out at 25 or something, that'd be different. But quarterbacks in this league don't tend to hit their prime until their 30s. So I mean, like he could easily have a good decade-long career still, like, to 35 potentially if he can stay healthy. But, like, I'm just saying, like, that's not outside the realm. If it's not the quarterback is at a position that ages, or, you know, you get better with age. Not many positions in the league are like that. So I think it's fun.
My opinion on this one is I didn't love Hendon Hooker coming into the draft. Really high character guy. Hopefully he can develop into a good backup over time. He's not going to have much in the film room, I don't think. Unfortunately, you know, some of the NFL guys, unless Nate stays around. Nate Sudfeld, I'm not sure what their plans are for him, the Lions. Maybe Hendon Hooker's the third, like, guy in the roster, and he just doesn't get activated all year while he recovers from his ACL. I'm not sure what their plans are for him this year, at least. But maybe like go Jalen Hyatt there or something like that. Maybe add another wide receiver to that room, make it an elite room, or Tucker Kraft add to that tight end room again. Another guy I really liked, Zach Harrison, even DN. Riley Moss was there in the third round. So I don't know. There's some other picks I kind of wished we took. I wasn't as high on this one as maybe some of the media was, but you know, I'll live with it, I suppose. I'll drink the Kool-Aid over time. UJ,
please do. Z, don't go killing yourself over draft picks. Okay.
All right. Anyways, let's move. So we thought you know, I had to go run an errand. I was like, oh, okay, Lions are done with third round now. Hold the phone, because they go and grab at the late in the third round at pick 96, Broderick Martin, a D tackle out of Western Kentucky. You know, I wanted the Lions to get a D tackle, and I didn't see this guy. I did not hear this name before the draft. I'm going to be completely honest. Had any of you guys heard this name before the draft?
Nope.
No. I heard some people were projecting him sixth or seventh round, so it was an interesting
yes.
pick.
It was a very interesting pick. So, Connor, did you like the pick? Was it worth trading up?
Well, I mean, Big Z, we talked about this before. We did want some help in the trenches, and I thought that was going to come in round one. To be honest, I don't know enough about the kid. He's a big boy, 6'3", 330 pounds.
He's huge.
Big wingspan. I mean, I think he might be one of the biggest guys on our line now. I feel I just don't know enough about him to know if he's going to justify picking him that high, or even if other teams were clamoring for him. I genuinely don't know, but I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm going to let Brad cook. If he thinks he's a third-round guy, he's done enough to earn our belief, at least for this draft. So,
I mean, I think his role is a rotational nose tackle in this defense. Maybe put him out there on first down to stop the run. That's what I think they see him as. I don't know if he could be more than that. Rud Dog, do you think so?
I mean, you know, he's a rookie out of Western Kentucky, so you know you're going to assume some level of a learning curve here. But I mean, hey, I actually saw he was a 6'5", 337 on NFL.com. This dude is massive. Like he actually has a little bit of mobility for that size, which is why I think they like him, because he's not just like a pure space eater. He actually did kind of collapse pockets and get some sacks and stuff in college. I mean, that size, you just can't teach that. That's just freakish. And, you know, guys like that they can just have an effect just by moving forward sometimes. No, I mean, yeah, it's hard to say, you know, these guys, the Detroit Lions scouts have been looking at, you know, in depth at so many guys for so long. Like, I love this though. I love that we don't just keep getting guys we know their names of, because if we know their names, that means they were all just kind of like surface level people. People thought, like, this shows the depth and trust in our process and our scouting, you know, our department, that, you know, they don't just take the guys that, because all the pundits said these guys are good. They got the guy they like and that they did the scouting on, and they dug deep for him. So I have a feeling, I don't see why he couldn't be the next, you know, Liam McNeil kind of thing. Just be a nice surprise in the third round.
I feel like I was hearing a lot more buzz about Liam McNeil as a possible steal when they made that pick, though, compared to this guy. Bob, do you think the Lions reached here? Good pick. Your thoughts?
Like I didn't really him before the draft, so I can't really say that it was a reach. But I when they would address this position, and I like that they got a big line. And I like Joe Mizz, 5. I said 6'3", 330. Make him the biggest Lion, because Jones is 329. He's 29. He's 30. So we could use a big dude up there. And you know, Brad Holmes is pretty good at scouting these guys. So I don't know the player that much, but I like the pick for the position for sure. So
yeah, I mean, we need depth at defense tackle. So
and MLive 2 said that the Chiefs and the Rams and the Pems of the Packers are sitting in him. So.
Or are they looking at him in round 3? That's the question.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Unclear. UJ.
Okay. I didn't know anything about this guy either, but after they picked him, I went and watched some of his film. And the guy, first of all, is just a monster in size. He's just huge. And he just sort of dominated with his size. He seems sort of glacial in his movements, kind of slow, and he plays a little high. But I think the Lions obviously see something in this guy. I think if they can get him to learn some technique and play lower, get the pad level down and a little get out, he's going to be a solid nose tackle. And if they can just get that, and maybe even like you said, Zach, maybe just for first down, maybe one or two downs. And that'll free up McNeil and Bugs to just wreak more havoc, I think, if they can get this guy to hold the point. I mean, because he's so big, he's hard. He's going to be really hard to move. And if he can just fill up that gap and be really hard to move, it just frees up the other guys to do more. So I think that's kind of what they're seeing in him. But we'll see. He definitely needs work, I think, technique-wise and all that. But like Red Dog said, you can't teach the size this guy's got. He's a big monster. And, again, a high-character kid. I saw his interview, too, and just you can't help but like the kid. So, I don't know. This is like a wait-and-see pick. It's not something I saw coming, but it was something I wanted, the position I wanted to see addressed, and they addressed it. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I heard
One and a half sacks his senior year. He's a six-year senior as well. He's 24 years old, so he's a little on the older side. There's a lot of those in this draft. There's a lot of older people in this draft.
Because of COVID?
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely the biggest reason, for sure. I don't think this is worth trading up for, in my opinion. But I guess time will tell. The Lions, like UJ said at the beginning of the podcast, or was it the middle? I don't remember. But these guys have a plan. We just got to trust that plan. The Lions are executing it. Because so far, I mean, they get the benefit of the doubt with the way they've drafted so far in the Brad Holmes era. So I will give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, Z? Like the first two drafts, things kind of fell in a way where it made it really easy for everyone to digest Brad Holmes' choices, like Sewell falling to us, Hutch falling to us. Like they were kind of obvious picks. Like this was the first draft where like he kind of really winged it and went off and did his own thing, and it wasn't like an obvious route to take, and like it just broke a lot of people. Like all the Brad Holmes, we believe in Brad Holmes, was really like, I just like what Brad Holmes has done so far, and like now that he's doing something I don't understand, I don't like it. Like that seemed to be like this like common thing. People were just struggling with the way he picked in this draft.
They seem prepared though. Like when Witherspoon didn't fall to them, they moved on it immediately to Plan B.
So
they
were well prepared.
Yeah, four trades on day two. So, they call him Chess Master, and time will tell if he was the master of this draft or not.
I love the pictures of Holmes with the red eyes glowing like he's some like
villain. And then wearing that Dan Campbell sweater, right?
Yeah,
with his like hands in the air. He looked funny wearing that, especially taking it to his press conference. But we got two more players we want to mention that were picked. So in round five, the Lions at pick 152 overall go offensive lineman Colby Sorsdal out of William and Mary College. This is another captain of his football team. 6'5", 305-pound offensive tackle. Very durable, started in all 46 games he appeared in his 5 years there. Played at right tackle. That's basically what I know about the guy. I haven't really had the chance to watch his film yet, but I do want to also mention that a top scout on Twitter, I don't know what you think of Twitter scouts, but anyways, his name is Duke Manyweather. He's a pretty well-respected guy on there, offensive line scouting and development history. Anyways, he thought the Lions got the steal of the draft with this guy. So,
oh, wow.
Anyways, Colby Sorsdal, UJ, your thoughts on this guy really quick.
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit there because I saw that little Twitter thing too.
I retweeted that on our Twitter account at Drinking Lions.
This is quietly one of my favorite picks in the draft because – I did want us to get offensive line in this draft because I think going forward in the future, I think we need it. And just what I've read about this kid, and I did watch his film, he looks pretty good. He's got potential to be a big-time contributor to this team. So, I just got to say I love the pick. He's 6'6", 301. I guess it sounds like a little light for that height, but he's projected as a guard here because his – again, the short arm theory, you know, his arms are a little shorter maybe than they should be or whatever. But I don't understand all that shit. But he does look good, and I like the pick. And if this guy on Twitter is right, who this well respected offensive line guru, then
Duke Manyweather.
Yeah, I love it. I like it. It was a position, Connor, a need to me. So, yeah.
Connor.
Yeah, I like the pick. I like you. I didn't know a lot about this guy going into it. I did see some people were high on it on Twitter. Other people were like, oh, this guy was going to go undrafted. But I don't know. I feel like once you get to these later rounds, granted, this isn't like the late rounds, but still, like, it's a bit of a crapshoot anyways. And, like, the value is just not as well known. I mean, they clearly liked something they saw on him, and he was a team captain, like you said. So who might have doubt the pick? We needed O-line help, and I didn't think we necessarily needed it early because we don't need an immediate starter. So he can learn from some of the best. We have a great O-line and take over when some guys are getting new contracts. So I like the pick.
Red Dog.
And plus he's got a similar build to Graham Glasgow, both kind of taller guards.
That's true.
To learn from Hal Bendright. But, no, I mean, yeah, you can't go wrong adding big uglies, adding to the trenches. I mean, from everything I heard, you know, like, this is what I love about this. Like, you see that they're not just, like, taking flyers on guys. These guys, like, they know who these guys are. Like, you just get the sense that they're picking their guys at every single turn. And there's not a point in this draft where they're just like, well, like, everyone we like's gone. Let's just grab one. Like, that you can tell. They
would,
like these guys.
I would hope they wouldn't be doing that as GM of the Lions. Just like,
I mean, I'm being a little like jokey, but like, I'm just saying, like, you just see, like, there's always a serious consideration. And, like, they know who they're going after. The way they maneuvered around this draft, like, Dan Campbell, like, was like a surgeon in this thing. Like, and they, you know, like, they could have walked away with a lot more picks, but they didn't because he moved so much. I'm just saying, I like Connor said, at this point in the draft, it's so deep, like, you're getting the deep dives. Like, I like the look of him. I like the sound of him. I like the position he plays. So, good pick.
Bob.
Yeah, I didn't know the player before the draft. I did want the position filled, and he's got a lot of the, like, because we're going to need depth here. Reininger, who writes up he does the downs. Baldy's breakdowns. He did one on Colby Sorsdahl. Said that he is the four critical components you need: size, experience, and he moves when he has all the toughness in this, and he sees him as a future start NFL. So,
there you go. I like it. Well, that'd be a steal. At the very least, I think he adds depth into the interior of the offensive line, and with our history of injuries, adding Glasgow too. Along with Big V coming back, the Lions have some depth there. They've done a great job building depth around this roster the last 3 years. It's just a lot of fun seeing this plan come to fruition. So I like the pick a lot. Everything I read about him gives me, you know, a lot of hope that it was a good steal possibly here in the fifth round. Let's get to the last pick though of the draft. Antoin Green, wide receiver out of North Carolina, 6'1.5", 200 pounds, fifth year senior from North Carolina, averaged about a little over 19 yards per touchdown his last 2 years in college. Missed the last three games of the season last year because of a broken collarbone. Basically a vertical threat downfield, as I mentioned, over 19 yards. He averaged per catch in his last 2 years in college, including 12 touchdowns. Looks Lions taking a shot in the dark and maybe an over-the-top guy here to help him for the six-game stretch.
There's this tweet about him. Did you guys see the relative athletic score? Like, someone was tweeting this about him.
Please share.
He scored 405 out of 3,062 wide receivers from 1987 to 2023.
Pretty good.
It factors in, like, size, explosion grade, agility, speed. Speed is where he did the best, and his explosion grade was his worst, with his vertical being his worst at. But it's interesting. It definitely seems like a good guy to take a flyer on in round 7. You know, I don't know. He probably takes Cephas's spot. RIP to Cephas, future Hall of Famer, but I'm curious to see what he does.
Return.
He probably won't turn into an elite receiver, but he's got some tools that they could work with. I like the
pick. Yeah, very least a good shot in the dark in the seventh round to maybe make the roster. at a position need. Bob, really quick.
Yeah, I like it. You know, they could stretch the field, and on I did want them to take a receiver in this, so that's the guy. They pretty much did all the options I wanted, except I wanted a kicker instead of a pick. I would love to have a kick. No good. But I like the pick of Green.
Oh yeah, Jake Moody went like three picks after Broderick Martin, by the way.
That was a little early. I love Moody.
That was early for Moody, but we also kind of leapt for a guy, so I don't know. I'm just so sad. I'm devastated. I still think we need to bring in another kicker, but whatever.
I agree.
UJ, really quick. Antoine Green.
Yeah, like I think in this point, seventh round, he seems like a good guy to take a shot with. So, got some good measurables. Seems like a good kid. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about the kid. He seems like a good player, good character. Give him a shot.
All right. I should mention 4.47, 40, and 10'3", broad jump, 33.5-inch vertical for those that like those type of numbers. Red Dog. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I like at this stage, you're getting real down to the bottom of the barrel, but you get a guy who's got good height and good speed, you know, who could potentially develop into something more. What more can you ask for, you know, in the seventh round? So, yeah, I like the pick.
All right. Now let's go. So we went through all the picks here in the draft. Let's now wrap it up with our draft grade. So I'm just going to go
AZ.
Around. Go ahead, Red.
Are we going to talk about it all undrafted free agents in this one?
Oh, I guess, yeah, we can mention a couple. We don't have to talk about all of them, but is there any that stuck out to you? I mean, the light.
Well, I was really prepared for this. And
I
would like to mention a few guys. I won't mention them all. They picked 14 different guys. So there's a lot of guys here, but a couple that really intrigued me were quarterback Adrian Martinez out of Kansas State. I thought that was a great pickup because I really believe in this quarterback room, and I think they need to improve it and get guys that we can groom. So I love this kid. Dual threat quarterback. Mohamed Ibrahim, running back out of Minnesota. Yes. Now, I can't believe this kid wasn't even drafted, but they gave him $100,000 guaranteed money to sign as an undrafted free agent. That's big money for an undrafted guy. Another guy, wide receiver Chase Cota out of Oregon. Big white kid, 6'4", ran a 4.5 40. They gave him $80,000 guaranteed. Again, seventh round money. This kid who wasn't drafted. The couple of the guys I'm interested in are offensive tackle Connor Galvin out of Baylor, 6'7", 302. Another big dude. Looks potentially really good. And then two that intrigued me also, defensive tackle Corey Durden out of North Carolina State, 6'4", 292. They gave him money too, $40,000 guaranteed. And the last guy that I'll mention is defensive tackle Chris Smith out of Notre Dame, 6'2", 310. These two defensive tackles, I think, show potential to make the roster, both of them. So there's some others too, but it's an interesting undrafted free agent class too that, you know, if you want to delve into it, there's some pretty interesting guys in there. So
absolutely.
I just wanted to mention it.
I like the Ibrahim guy out of Minnesota.
He's a no-nonsense running back. He will just try to bully you over as a running back.
Yeah.
He's a thick man, 5'7", 203, another six-year senior. Injury history, with Achilles.
Little injury but nonetheless. But they gave him $100,000 guaranteed.
And if so you want to talk about they gave him a lot of money. If you want to talk about a guy with a lot of mileage on him, he had 867 carries in college. 320 this last year. So he doesn't have a lot of mileage on him.
Offense.
But at the very least, maybe he could be a backup and like punch it in at the goal line because that's kind of where he thrives in those sorts of yardage situations. But no, I appreciate that. So now let's wrap up the podcast here by giving our draft grade. So I'm going to go around my screen as I see everybody here. So we'll start with Rud Dog.
I'm going to go with just a nice, good old solid A. Just a nice solid A. I like it. They got the guys they wanted. Like, maybe they could have done better in some maneuvering, but like, I don't know. I just like everything they did made this roster better. Especially like the front end picks, like they're all gonna be instant impacts on us winning this division now this year. So I can't really find any complaints. I think the positional value stuff is overblown for the most part. They went after their guys, the guys they wanted. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They were unapologetic about it. I love it. A.
All right, UJ.
Yeah, I agree. A solid A. I mean, the first four picks in this draft are going to contribute immediately, and I mean that's just amazing. I think they did a really good job at the top of the draft. A couple of the guys later in the draft, I think were more for potential and depth, but I still think they did a pretty good job there. It's hard not to give them less than an A. And then people who watch in the draft, forget about what all these prognosticators say. Like, Holmes and Campbell are doing something different, man. They're critical thinkers, man. They're free thinkers. They don't fall in line with the common thinking of, you know, all these draft people.
Those,
you know,
mortals.
And they don't draft afraid. They draft bravely. I mean, they just, I don't
they
know.
Go in with a plan and they stick to the plan.
Yeah, they do, but they're not afraid. They're just, I just love what they're doing, and I think we should kind of revel in this a little bit, you know, until it goes south. But right now, they've given us no reason to think differently, because his first two drafts were awesome, and this draft looks like it potentially maybe to be his best draft yet, potentially. So, yeah, I love it. I'm going to give it a solid A.
All right, Bob.
All right. Yeah, he wasn't afraid like to High School Musical. He was just scared, but anyway, yeah, I'll just give it an A plus. I mean, if grading drafts is kind of ridiculous because you don't until like a year or two later what's happening.
This is what's gonna get the listeners to listen.
Well, they're already listening. We're listening. We're at the podcast. But I'm giving it an A plus because Holmes proves me wrong. He's doing
A
he's
plus
doing
plus.
It.
Jeez.
All right, Connor.
It's adding pluses.
I think I trust in Brad Holmes completely, and I think this will end up being an A-plus draft, but I'm going to give it an A-minus just because I do think there were a couple reaches where they maybe could have got guys a little later, and they didn't draft Jake Moody, so it's going to get dropped down a little bit. But A-minus for me. That. I do think, though, it's going to become an A. If you look at some of those old drafts during the Patricia years, good Lord, that Tavai year. Oh, my God.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
some really awful
oh, yeah.
drafts there.
Very, very bad.
Like, Hawk was the only good pick that year. So I'm just grateful we have Brad.
Don't even know
Chef Brad's in the kitchen.
What?
Let him cook.
Back on. I love it. Let him cook, baby.
I am going to go B+, which I still think is a really good grade. I think it's still a really good grade. The two picks I didn't like were Hendon Hooker. You know, as I said, I wasn't really high on him coming into the draft. I'd rather maybe we address some of the guys that I mentioned earlier. And then Broderick Martin. I still didn't understand trading up for that. But otherwise, I understand the Gibbs one. I understand the Jack Campbell one. And I'm really excited for the Brian Branch pick. All of it. So I still think B+ is really good, by the way. But time will tell. I didn't like trading up for Broderick Martin, and I didn't like the third round.
Get some Kool-Aid to that kid.
Yeah, get some Kool-Aid.
fair enough.
Bring the IV.
All right, so let's wrap up this pot. Let's wrap up this
down.
Let's wrap up this podcast. Let's throw some positives out there by talking about our social media at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram, at Drinking Lions on Twitter. We got the blue check mark on Twitter there for at Drinking Lions, so follow us on there. You'll know it's us because we got the blue check mark. And then also at DTBK_Lions on YouTube. That's where we did our live stream for the reactions to the first round of the draft. Go back and listen to it. It was a lot of fun, like it always is. But otherwise, I also want to thank our producer,
KJ.
All right. Yeah. And then I also want to thank SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast on their site. We are the official podcast of SidelineReport.com. So thank you to them. And then just if you like the podcast, you like what you hear, please leave a review on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Please download and please subscribe and leave a review for us. Leave a review. We always greatly appreciate that. But otherwise, gentlemen, listeners, our loyal fans, we greatly appreciate you listening. We'll probably leave this up for a couple weeks, let it simmer for the listeners, and then we'll get back to it, you know, with some fun offseason stuff. So the draft's over now. This is the we'll be back after May 11th, actually. We'll have a brief reaction to the NFL schedule release on May 11th. How about that? Yeah. So look forward to that. That's in 10 days from this recording on May 1st. So that'll be 9 days from the release tomorrow. So look out for that, I suppose. And that'll be a quick one, but always fun. Hopefully the Lions get a lot of primetime games because they are winning a Super Bowl. They'll have the ultimate primetime game at the end of the year. But nonetheless. Anyways, thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Go Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock! Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain.